Turn to Malachi chapter 2, verse 17. Malachi chapter 2, verse 17. You have wearied the Lord with your words, yet you say, wherein have we wearied him? When you say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them. Or, where is the God of judgment? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for so many blessings. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to take your word today and freely stand and proclaim it. Have the right to meet and worship as we please. We thank you, Lord, for so great a salvation in what you've done for us in the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, you know the hearts of all that are here today, and I pray that you would take your words and apply them to the hearts. Meet their needs, whatever they are. I ask you to give me a freedom and ease to preach that only you can give. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I found here a while back as I was studying Malachi, there were certain things that just struck me. And a while back I preached on chapter 1, verse 6, wherein have we despised thy name? And in verse 7 he said, when you say the table of the Lord's contemptible. And then verse 13, when you say what a weariness it is for us to serve God. I mean, oh, this having to serve God and do these things, it just wears us out and bores us to death. Then here in verse 17, he says, you wearied the Lord with your words, yet ye say, wherein have we wearied thee? When you say, God says he doesn't like this. When you say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord. Or, he delighteth in them. Or, where is the God of judgment? Then there's another one. In chapter 3 and verse 14. In 13 it says, ye say. Verse 14 says, ye have said, it is vain to serve God, and what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance? I think there's some interesting thoughts. God is talking to his own people, Israel. They're in a very backslidden state. They don't have a whole lot of light coming to them. Not a lot of preachers that are speaking with any power. And he's saying, you're saying these things. You're saying these things. Now he's accusing them, first of all, of saying, what a weariness it is. You know, sometimes we think, oh, I got to keep on doing this, and I got to keep on doing that. And somebody says, oh, it's so hard to come to church, or it's so hard to come all the time, or there's so much demanded of me. And what a weariness it is to serve the Lord. Now, you would never say anything like that, would you? No, you wouldn't even think that. And then this last one over here in chapter 3, ye have said, it is vain to serve God, and what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance? Surely you wouldn't think it's really a waste of my time. It's a waste of my money to give to the Lord. Some of you think that because I know because you don't give. So we know you must think it's a waste to give. But it's a waste to serve God. I mean, you know, give God so much time. Work for God throughout the week. Live for God. I mean, put it up first. Ye have said. It says God is upset with that kind of an attitude. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm a father. I taught for 20 years in the public schools. And I've been a pastor and a teacher for 46 years. And you know, I've seen the time when my kids could really upset me just with their attitude. Amen. That ever happened to you? Oh, man. Just the way they look out of their eye, or just the way they flip their eyes, or the way they smirk up, or the way they say something a little different, you know. Whoo, man, it caused fire come out of the top of my head. He says God's like that. God's upset. Amen. Upset with his people's attitude.
That's right.
I've done this for you, and I've done that for you. And if you needed more, I would have done that for you. And yet, what's your attitude toward me? Oh, what a weariness it is that we have to serve God. What profit is it to us that we serve God at all? I know people think it around us all night. You may not say it, but sometimes you even think it. And the world out there, let me tell you, that's the way they think. I've had people coming up here working, trying to help the church, building this auditorium and whatever. And other people say, what are you doing up there? What are you wasting your time with? You getting any money out of this? Anything going for you? What a weariness it is. I'm so tired. I've worked so hard. I've labored so hard for the Lord. Have you? You really that good? You really that kind of worker? Well, he said he's tired of hearing it out of them. Now, this is a bunch of Jews. A bunch of Jews under the Old Testament law. You're a Christian under grace. You're supposed to be born again of the Spirit of God, indwelt by the Spirit of God. Your sins are forgiven. They've been wiped out. They've been placed in the depths of the sea to be remembered against you no more. I can't forget, but God can. He can do that. And that's a tremendous promise that he does. He'd bury him in the depths of the sea to be remembered no more against you. Praise the Lord. What a blessing. God may get tired of some of the things that come out of your mouth. Now here, the one I picked really for today, verse 17, you have wearied the Lord with your words, yet ye say, wherein have we wearied him? When ye say. When ye say. Where is the God of judgment? Heard somebody on the news complaining about judgment just yesterday. I don't know how many times you've said it and I've said it. Boy, what's happened to law? What's happened to justice? What's happened to righteousness? You ever think like that? Well, do you ever take it a step further and blame God? Now, I'm sure you'd never do anything like that, but I have. I've been mad at God in my life when I didn't get what I wanted. When things didn't work out like I thought they should have worked out, like I expected them to work out, I have been upset at the Lord and felt like the Lord was treating me badly. Where is the God of judgment? Have you ever thought that when you're talking like that, you're actually insulting the Lord? I think sometimes when we talk about the weather, oh, it's so hot. Oh, it's just so hot. My, this heat. I just can't stand this heat. You know who you're complaining against? I don't make the heat. The weatherman doesn't make the heat. God makes the heat. Oh, we complain about one thing or another, and we don't realize sometimes what an insult we are in the face of God. We're insulting him. He gets wearied with us. Wearied with our words. We come up with this attitude, where is the God of judgment? I heard a preacher say this month, and I've heard him say it before. He said, if God doesn't judge America for her sins, he'll have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. Oh boy, that sounds good, doesn't it? God ain't going to apologize to anybody. God's never going to have to apologize to anybody. That's not a good statement. I think that's a dangerous statement. I'd be afraid to make that statement. God's going to have to apologize. Are you saying God is not going to do what's right? Is that, does your faith go only that far? That when things are working good for you, you can trust God. When things aren't working the way you want them, you can't trust God anymore. You can't trust God if he doesn't give you wealth, if he doesn't give you a job, if he doesn't give you health. Well, then what's the sense serving God? It's vain to serve God. It's profitless. It's weariness. Where is the God of judgment? Now, some of us fundamentalists, we got to watch ourselves. Because we get pretty self-righteous sometime. We look around. I have my own personal convictions. Not all of you share my personal convictions. I don't share all of yours. But we have our own personal conviction. We think everybody ought to see it like we see it. We think everybody ought to walk like we walk. We think everybody ought to dot their I's like I dot my I's. But everybody doesn't. And so we come back and we step back and we say, God, what kind of a world have you made? Some of you say, well, should we even bring children into this world? You think only the lost people should keep multiplying? You think that's good for the country? Good for the world? Where is this God of judgment? And what you're doing is judging God. Now let me tell you something. I am a judge. So are all of you. And this whole idea, judge not, lest you be judged. It's a scripture verse, but you got to read what goes before and what goes after. God Almighty tells you throughout this book, you make judgments and you better make judgments. You kids that are dating, you better make some good judgments. If not, you're going to pay for it. Amen. You're going out to get a job or to buy a house, you better make judgments. You better make judgments on people's character. You may better make judgments on what's written down. You better read the fine print. You better make some judgments. This idea, you can't judge me. Oh, no, I can't be judged. Heard a great movie star, singer saying, oh, I've got a religion. But it's not one of those things with, you know, heaven and hell and no judgment, no judgment. Of course you don't want any judgment. Somebody might say you're doing something wrong. The world wants a God of their own imagination. The world wants a God that thinks like they think. Is that your problem? You have a problem with God because He doesn't think like you think? That's what the problem is right here. Where is the God of judgment? Think about the way some other people think in the Bible. Turn with me to Psalm 73. Psalm 73, verse 3. This book has written down the thoughts of many, many men. And God gives His judgment on those thoughts. Look at Psalm 73. By the way, it's a great psalm. You ought to really go through it. I'm not going to go through it. I just want to hit verse 3. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. You know what is the problem of many Christians? Whenever they have a problem and a controversy with God, they see somebody else's prosperity. They see the wicked prospering. They see them not getting caught. They see them getting away with murder. They see them just seemingly go through their life so blessed, and yet they're living wicked, and you know they're living wicked, and you wonder, how can they be blessed? You read the rest of this psalm, and it says, I was envious till I went into the sanctuary, and I saw their end. Amen. Hey, it's not over yet.
That's right.
Amen. It's not going to be over when I'm an old man and throwing dirt in my face. Understand me. It's not over. It's not over till we all get up there. God hasn't guaranteed you a rose garden down here. He hasn't guaranteed you unlimited success. He hasn't guaranteed you're not going to get sick or die. Some of you are going to marry a healthy, beautiful girl and she's going to die on you. Some of you are going to marry a great, big, strong, handsome man and he's going to die on you. It's going to happen. You're going to have a lovely little child and that child's going to die. You're going to have another one and some horrible disease is going to come into your life and you're going to suffer through no telling what. Where is God? Oh, I've heard this cry. Not in exactly these same words. But I've been in the family where that little child has died and seen somebody hate God. Curse God. Angry at God because something happened in their life like that. God doesn't have to make you prosperous.
That's right.
Actually, the best blessing of your life might not be prosperity. I've lived long enough, I've preached long enough, I've seen some really good people make some really good money and it hurt them. Hurt them spiritually, hurt their family, hurt their kids. Prosperity is not necessarily a blessing. We think it is. I've had money and I've been without money. I like having money better.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. But let me tell you, that may not be what God's will is for you. And that may not be the very best for you. It might not be the best for your children. He said, I looked at the wicked and I saw their prosperity and I was envious. One of our problems is envy. One of our problems. We are filled with envy. We look out at other people and what they have. Oh, I wish my husband were as sweet as your husband is. Well, I wish my wife were as sweet as your wife is. Envy. And many times we're blaming God, and that's what God's talking about in the book of Malachi. Over and over again, he talks about what his people said. And it just struck me that as I read this, what I've said, what you said, what I've heard you say, what I read written day in and day out, what I hear preached day in and day out by different people and the things that come out of their mouth, it's like there is no God out there because he hasn't moved in my particular case. So I think he's all out there. Well, look what it says in Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 8 and verse 12. Ezekiel is talking about the leaders of God's people. Said unto me, Ezekiel 8, 12, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark? These are spiritual leaders. These are the ancients of the house of Israel. He said, have you seen what they do in the dark? Every man in the chambers of his imagery. For they say, the Lord seeth us not. The Lord hath forsaken the earth. The problem is, we think God has gotten so far away and gotten so distant from us that these little everyday things in life he doesn't see. You think God doesn't see in the dark because you don't see in the dark. You think because your parents don't know what's going on, or your children don't know what's going on, or your church doesn't know what's going on, that God doesn't know what's going on. Well, you made a big mistake. God is ever present. The devil cannot be every place at all times, but God is every place at all times. There's no getting away from him. But can you imagine that we, the people of God, could come to the place to think like these people thought? Now, God said this is what they thought. The Lord hath forsaken the earth. God's not going to mess with this, and God doesn't care what we do. We can do what we please and get away with it. The world gets away with it. We're going to get away with it. I tried to raise my children as a Christian. I tried to raise them in the idea that they belong to the Lord, and the Lord might let some other people get away with things he wouldn't let them get away with. Be sure your sin will find you out. And I've tried to teach that as long as I can remember. You a born-again child of God? You can't get away with what your next-door neighbor can get away with. You can't get away with what your boss can get away with. You try to do the same thing, God will expose you. You try to hide and act like that you're just as clean as can be and you're living in sin, God Almighty will pull the sheet back off you on national television at the Rose Bowl parade. You want some embarrassment? He'll give you some embarrassment. God is not afraid of exposing sin in his own people. He doesn't like it. He's not going to put up with it. And you can't get away with it. But here are the ancients. You're born again. You've got more knowledge than these ancients had. You know the Bible. You probably know more Bible than some of these ancients did. Could you possibly think that way? God's so far off, he doesn't see me. God is so far distant, he's forsaken the earth. He's not really interested in my daily affairs. Well, that's what some people are thinking. Look, if you will, over in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. Verse 30. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 30. Right in the middle of the verse it says, "Vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." What a statement of faith. What? Some people talk about life verses. A verse to hang your life on. A verse that you can just go to. That's a life verse. How many times do you want to take vengeance? I read and I hear in the news somebody's wife is committing adultery and not treating the children right. So let's say the husband decides, "I am so mad and so I'm so angry," so he goes and catches her with the man in adultery and he blows them both away. And they walk up and pick him up. They know who he is. They walk up and pick him up, haul him off, and he's sentenced to life imprisonment. Who takes care of the kids now? Huh? "Yeah, but I'm getting my vengeance. Yeah, but I have a right to do this. Yeah, but I've been wrong." Yes, but who takes care of the kids now? Here you have these kids, they're being mistreated. And boy, there have been plenty of kids being mistreated. And there are right today, plenty of kids being mistreated. But did you solve the problem? Did you help anything out? You took vengeance into your own hands. Believe me, I understand the idea of vengeance. I love it. I would love to take vengeance. Sometimes I just hear something, could be a county over. I would love to go over and be the executioner. I would love to be Clint Eastwood and say, "Go ahead, make my day." We love vengeance, but vengeance does not belong to us. Now that is a statement of faith. And you could probably say it very piously and very religiously today. Vengeance belongeth unto the Lord. And we all ought to back off and let the Lord have it until somebody rapes your wife. Till somebody steals your daughter. Till somebody cuts up and abuses your boy. Then it takes a little more faith, doesn't it? How much you believe? How strong is your belief? Now, I believe this about God. Vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense. And the Lord shall judge his people. And it is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. Let's say you believe this, and yet you don't see justice in your case. Do you say what they said? Where is the God of judgment? Where's justice when it comes to me? Where is righteousness when it comes to me? Where is fairness when it comes to me? Where is this God of vengeance when I'm hurting? Verse 35. "Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense and reward. For you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith." Do you know what you've been called to do? You've been called to live by faith. You've been called to be saved by faith. You've been called to live by faith. You're not called to be saved by grace, by faith, and then live by works. No, that's not the thing. You've got to live by faith. What does living by faith entail? It tells taking what God says, believing, and acting on it. And what is faith anyway? It is trusting the Word of God when everything around you looks different. Faith is not, "Yes, I believe God when I can see it." That's Missouri. I believe it when I see it. Faith is, "I believe what God said no matter what I see." Amen. No matter what I go through. No matter whether I see the vengeance or not. You know what we want? We want vengeance now. I don't blame you. I was raised that way. All of my life, you hit me, I'm going to hit you. You hit me, I'm going to hit you harder. And if you beat me up, I'll get you in the back. I'll catch you in the dark some night when you're not looking. I'll pay you back. I don't get mad, I get even. And generally more than even. That's almost the American way, isn't it? It's not God's way. It's not God's way. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Vengeance belongeth unto me, saith God. God will judge his people. You have need of patience after you have done the will of God. Do you know what? You might need to wait all the way to the great white throne judgment before you ever see your vengeance taken out. Now, I've had some Christians tell me that's not good enough for them. Well, then the Bible's not good enough for you. Then faith is not good enough for you. God gets upset at you slandering him.
Amen.
And when you say God's not going to do right and God hasn't done right, you slandered God. Had five kids. Can't treat them all alike. All different ages. Different sexes. Boys and girls. You can't treat them all alike. But every once in a while, somebody would feel like I mistreated them and preferred someone else. That'd make me mad. Because if anything that woman and I tried to do was tried to be fair.
Amen.
Tried to be right. What do you think God thinks when you begin to accuse him of injustice? You say he's not running the world right. He's not working things right. He hasn't given you all that you ought to have. And you're the most spoiled people that ever walked the face of the earth. No people ever lived with your freedom. No people ever lived with your wealth. No people ever lived with your opportunity. No people ever lived with a Bible in their hands like you've got. So freely. And we got our little attitude with God. You're not treating me right. Where's judgment? Where's righteousness when it's on me? Yeah, I see what you did over there, but what about me? What about my house? What about my case? What about my family? How come they're so prosperous? Why do you let them go on? As the psalmist said, I didn't understand till I went in the sanctuary. God's not going to work everything out in this life, but he is going to work everything out.
Amen.
Now, I've lived long enough to see it come back right here in this life. I've lived long enough to see that. I was teaching English at Page Junior School in 1961. One of my boys, I guess it was 62, one of my boys was a good football player, but he would not turn in one piece of work. His name was Jesse Sanchez. He just wanted to play football. That's the only way in school. He was a good football player. So he would flunk. In those days, you didn't have to pass to play. So he would just flunk all his classes and play football. But he was a good, strong, tough young man. One day, couple of drug potheads came up to school and were picking on a little boy that had the locker next to Jesse. One of them had a banana knife. Another one had about a 7-inch switchblade. Jesse took them on anyway. One of them slit his throat with that banana knife and the other one stuck that 7-inch blade right up in here. It's lunchtime. We came up, guy that later became a principal before you, that man. We were there. We gave him artificial respiration. But Jesse was dead. It hit his heart. Then 15 minutes, he was gone. Man, was there rage. Man, was there anger among teachers, students. This gang of potheads who had been skipping school and come high on school to get this kid. And they got off. It was self-defense because Jesse attacked them while they were attacking another little boy. They got off. Fred's the man. Oh, I was mad. Oh, where's the God of judgment? Where's justice? Where's righteousness? You know what I found out? Those boys got off from that one, those two. Yeah, they did. I don't know where they got the money for that high-powered lawyer. Might have been drug money in those days. I don't know. But they did. And they got off. And in my heart, I said, where is the God of judgment? Where's righteousness? The court was wrong. The judge was wrong. The lawyer was wrong. I would have felt justified in shooting any one of them. But you know, those boys didn't live very long. One of them got sent to prison on something else, got killed in prison. Neither one of those boys lived 10 years. You see, I didn't take vengeance, and those teachers didn't get a chance to take vengeance, and those boys didn't get a chance to take vengeance, but God did. And that was in this life. You can look at it over and over again. There's history after history after history of people paying for their sins right here in this life. I don't have to take vengeance because there's a big old boy down the road that's going to knock your block off. I don't have to take it. What I have to do? I put you in God's hands. Can you trust God? Can you wait upon God? Do you believe God is righteous and that He'll do right, is doing right, and that the way He's running things is the right way for them to be run? I believe that. Now, I have a hard time living it. But I believe that. Now it says, the just shall live by faith. Now look at chapter 11 and verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please Him. Without faith it is impossible to please Him. You may walk around and do your religious things. You may be so good about certain things you do, but if you don't trust God, you don't please Him. If you haven't come to the place to trust His character, to trust His word, to trust what He's doing, and believe in Him that He's going to work it all out, what does Romans 8:28 say? And we know. That's faith. Can't prove it. And we know. What do you know? That all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. All things. Boy, that takes faith. Takes bigger faith than most of us have. But that's the kind of faith we need to walk with, and you don't please God unless you got that kind of faith. The just shall live by his faith. You can't take the vengeance and walk away scot-free. God can. What you can do is take whatever it is that you got a problem with and put it in God's hand and leave it there. And you can know God will take care of it. If not in this life, He'll take care of it in the life to come. Someone told me, said, well, I sure hope nobody preaches the gospel to him because he might get saved and not be punished. Oh, we get a little selfish sometimes, don't we? I don't want him to get saved. Someone says, well, what about Saddam Hussein? You wouldn't want him in heaven? I said, if he gets saved, I'll take him in heaven. I'd take Adolf Hitler in heaven, Joseph Stalin in heaven, if they get saved. I don't want them if they don't get saved. But you see, how big is this gospel you preach? How big is this gospel you believe? How great is the God that you serve? Oh, He's a lot bigger than what you and I think. He's a whole lot bigger than what you and I think. Oh, I'll tell you what. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Look, if you will, at 2 Corinthians 9:15. 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. The gift of salvation in Christ Jesus is so great, so big, so mighty, so extensive, you can't even realize how great and how good it is. Thanks be unto God. Unspeakable gift. Let me tell you what he did. He died for all the sin. Not just my sin. Not just my family's sin. Not just American sin. He died for all sin. And he gives an offer that's so absolutely mind-boggling that many in the world cannot believe it. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He didn't say not just big sinners and little sinners, or I'll let the little ones go in if you go halfway out, if you don't do this certain thing. No, no, no. Can God save a murderer? Yes, he can. Can he save a king that's wicked? Yes, he can. He's done it. Can God save that person you think is the meanest, toughest, ugliest? Oh yeah, God can. God can turn them around and make a little pussycat out of them. Sweet as can be. Loving. Preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's done it for years. Can God change your life? Oh yes, he can. What do you think about God? His own people think wrong about him. We, the born-again children of God, think wrong about him because we haven't grown in our faith. We don't know the word well enough, and we don't trust the character of God like we ought to, and therefore we insult him day by day and week by week. Oh, but God can. God can save your soul and change your life today, my friend. Amen. You may be here without Christ. I want you to know today is the day of salvation.
Amen.
Christ died in your place. He paid your debt. I don't care how wicked it is, how vile it is, how low it is, how long it's been. Doesn't matter. God Almighty paid the debt. And if you'll take Christ as your Savior today, He'll forgive your sins, He'll save your soul and change your life.
Amen.
And my Christian friend, you may think, well, I've already blown it. I've wasted this and I've wasted that and I've passed this by. It's never too late to start again. Some of you need to clean up your mouth. Some of you need to clean up your heart. Some of you need to clean up your life. Some of you need to clean up your marriage. Some of you got a lot of things that need to be done. It's not too late. It's not too late. A living dog is better than a dead lion, Solomon tells us. You just may be a dog, but you're still alive. Then you got an opportunity to be blessed by God.
Amen.
And we serve a God so great and so powerful, He can change everything in your life just like that. Why don't you seek the Lord and let Him do what He wants to do in your life? If you're here without Christ, come to Him and be saved. If you're a child of God and God's spoken to your heart, do what God wants you to do. Don't give God your leftovers. Give Him your best.
Amen.
Give Him your first. And do it today. Let's stand and sing number 249.